Today's scripture reading is taken from Mark chapter 10, verse 35 to 45. Mark chapter 10, verse 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be a servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. As all of you know that today is Youth Sunday, and for me, I have the privilege to serve with the youth for the past, the youth and the young adults for the past 2 years. And the ministry has given me a fuller appreciation of who they really are and what they can do in the light of Christ. Maybe go back to the next slide. They are fearless in their service to the Lord. They are loyal to our Lord Jesus Christ. And many moments, actually, they have ministered and encouraged me with their pursuit of Christ. For example, just now, Zenith really very paiseh to share something that he sent to me, so I will share on his behalf. You're all thinking, okay. Actually, he signed up for Thailand mission trip for year end already, but he just didn't share. He felt shy. So with that, actually, there are many moments we can see that in the youth or the young adult, they actually challenge our mindset, challenge our theology, and more importantly, they inspire our love for Christ. And with that in mind, I also like to thank two groups of people in helping us to disciple, to journey, and to walk with the young people. Firstly, thank you, parents, for working hard with your child, spending time to pray and having devotion with them to nurture them in the ways of the Lord. I know that it's tough because you need to balance work, life, and family and ministry. But we will pray that God will continue to sustain you with His grace and wisdom. Another group that I want to thank with all my heart is my PLH mentors and your mentors. You have given your heart, your soul, your might, and even sometimes your money to journey with the young people. Totally and grateful for your partnership in the gospel, because without you, they are not here. That is the implication. And you have faithfully labored in the Lord. So let us pray for our youth, our young adult, and our mentors, even as I start today's sermon. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the youth and young adults in our midst. May they continue to believe and follow you all the days of their lives. With the many transitions they might face, give them your wisdom from above to walk in your light, to flee from all temptation, and to draw nearer to you each and every day. And we also pray for the parents. Continue to sustain them in your grace, especially they have to handle all the pressure of the world. to be able to serve you faithfully and yet to work and to balance with life and family, to be committed to continue to nurture their young in the ways of the Lord through the reading of your scripture. We pray also for the mentors in our midst who have given their heart, their mind, and their soul just to mentor the younger ones. We thank you and we praise you for their love, for their commitment to make disciples of Christ. And may Christ be glorified in all we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today's sermon title is The Life You Always Wanted. The title of today's sermon is actually a book that I read when I was younger, many years ago. It was a book that totally changed my worldview, my belief system, and more importantly, my life. It helps me in my growing up years, especially in my spiritual discipline and spiritual growth. And if you have not read it, definitely go and purchase this book. But I'm not preaching from this book, okay? The life you always wanted. What kind of life do you want? What kind of lifestyle do you envision? What kind of impact do you want to live for? Do you remember the dreams you had when you were young? So with that, we'll dive into today's topic of previous slide. A life of greatness and glory, a life of sacrifice and servanthood. This will be the 2 points for today's sermon. It may be short, but I hope that it will challenge our hearts today. Next. The disciples of Jesus Christ has followed Jesus for quite some time. And this is what they have observed. Jesus healing many people. Jesus actually calms the storm. And even with a touch of the cloth, somebody can be healed. And definitely the famous story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, walking on the water, and then again feeds the 4,000. And then the transfiguration of Christ that's being shown to us. The full reveal of Christ himself and being stamped by the Father. Definitely, Jesus has done a lot more things in the book of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. But if I were to explain the whole gospel, the four books of the Bible, it will take a few years. So I will not do that. And just to set the context right, for the book of Mark, the gospel of Mark, it's actually a fast-paced book. If you like action movies, this is the book that you should read. It's so fast, so furious. And it didn't include a lot of details, but it always points us to a certain angle, a certain picture of Christ that he wants to show us. And it seems that James and John, who were in the inner circle of Jesus, they didn't get Jesus' understanding of greatness and glory. In their minds, they were still worldly in following Christ. Imagine with me, you are one of the disciples and you saw what Jesus has done through the list I've given to you. You will also want to see and follow Christ for the glory in some sense. And they thought that Jesus was the king that was to come, that is to come to overthrow the Roman Empire. That's why they asked for the most important seats of all, the left and the right, and to sit with Jesus as the earthly king. And of course, we know by now that usually those who sit on your left and on the right are people of importance. That's why you sit beside them. And James and John, next slide, thank you. First point. All the way there, actually, all three points, thanks. James and John understood and defined greatness like most of us, which is a position point of view. To be great is to sit in the most important seat. What are the seats that we want to sit on earth? Have we asked ourselves, why do we want greatness? Why do we desire greatness? Why do we even crave for it? unknowingly we want to be worshipped by God. Hence is the reason why James and John ask in verse 37, grant us to sit one at your right and one on your left in your glory. Greatness, because we want others to look up to us, because we want to look good in front of others, and we want to be zai so that others can be impressed. How does the world teach us to be good or great? And in the eyes of the world, you are only doing good only if you reach certain status, certain rank, certain wealth, and of course, making a certain impact. The education system in Singapore has already taught our youth and our young adults to study hard, to work hard, to make a difference in our generation. These are all good things. However, in order to be great, the world teaches us to be ruthless. Don't care about the people you work with. Just make use of them, squeeze them dry, and throw the person away, just like a tool, and not treat them as human beings. And use the people, and once they have done and serve your purposes, you can don't bother about their well-being. And the world teaches us that actually the people that we are working with is just a stepping stone for us to the next level. Greatness, success, and glory, all of them are cousins' words. All of them are interconnected in one way or another. When you have tasted glory, you wanted more and more. It is a kind of addiction. Previous slide. It's okay. Never mind. Once you have tasted glory, you want more and more. It's like a form of addiction in some sense. You desire more and more of it. It is just like durian. Once you tasted one good durian, you crave for more and more of it. You don't even know how to stop, and you don't even know when to stop. You just keep eating. Oh yes, thank you. And finally, the wait is over. The durian season is back. Right, I think some church member also asked me, hey, the durian store near my house open already or not? Then I say, yes, open already. The durian from Pahang is here. Of course, I'm not selling durian today. So recently, I bought durian also. I bought two durians. One red prawn, about 1.2 kilo. Then another one, Mao San Wang, about 2.5 kilo. So the red prawn, apparently, is just for my son, because it's sweeter. And the Mao San Wang is for me and my wife, because it's bitter. So for the first time, I brought home my wife, and my wife joined in with my son to eat the red prawn already. Then so I, being the father, I said, okay, let's wait for the next day to eat the next batch of durian, because if not, we will have sore throat. So next night, I open up the durian. Guess what? My son joined in. He liked the bitter durian as well. He has grown up already, and he's only 8 years old. And before we know it, all the durians were gone. Then my wife say, why so fast? But I told my wife, but you asked me to buy only one, and I choose a bigger one already. Then I say, no choice. Of course, we didn't have enough durian for that day. But, and of course, we all of us have extra stomach, right? We are like females like that. Always has extra space for desserts. For the men, there's always extra space for durian, right? It's okay to say amen, huh? And of course, it is the same with glory and greatness, isn't it? Just like the disciples of Jesus Christ, James and John, they saw what earthly glory is, what earthly greatness is. They want it, they desire it, they crave for it, and they yearn for it. And they ask his master to sit on the left and on the right. And the question remains for all of us also. Do we desire the same like the disciples? To live a life of greatness and glory without Christ. Next slide, please. Thank you. A life of sacrifice and servanthood. But what did Jesus say to John and James in verse 38 and 39? You don't know what you are talking about. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism that with which I am baptized? And they said to him, straightforward, we are able. And of course, when Jesus said about to drink the cup that I drink, is actually, next point, click one time, the reference to his suffering on the cross. Next. And the baptism is to deny oneself and to follow Christ wholeheartedly. In verse 39b, it says that it tells us that the idea of baptism is totally denial of oneself, of even glory and greatness, to follow Christ wholeheartedly. In short, you are not called to be great. You are called to be a servant of all, just like our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 43 to 44, it reads that whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever must be first among you, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. Clearly, Jesus has redefined greatness and glory for his disciples, and as servants of God, your reward is actually not glory and greatness. If you pursue that all of your life, you are pursuing a wrong God in that sense. Instead, to follow the footsteps of our Master, sacrifice, suffering, humility, and servanthood. Not a position on the high chair, but a slave. That is the definition of greatness. And in Jesus' eyes, how does it look like? Why is that so? Because in verse 45, Jesus has modeled for us. He says that, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So a question to test whether you are a servant of Christ or not. Next slide. Charles Spurgeon actually said this: you cannot be Christ's servant if you are not willing to follow him, cross and all. What do you crave? A crown? Then it must be a crown of thorns if you are to be like him. And do you want to be lifted up? So you shall, but it will be upon a cross. And Mother Teresa once said this: if you can't do great things, do little things with great love. If you can't do them with great love, do them with a little love. And if you can't do them with a little love, do them anyway. Love grows when people serve. Greatness in the eyes of Jesus is not the position that you hold. It's rather how you serve. It is the posture of your service to the Lord and to his people. Do you serve God with God's people with his love? And when Jesus was saying talking to his two disciples, he asked them that the cup that I drink, you will drink, really? Actually, they will drink their cup like Jesus himself. What Jesus was referring about this cup that he was drinking was actually the cup of suffering. It was this cup of suffering that led Jesus to be praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Matthew chapter 26, it says that, not my will, but yours be done. The disciples wanted greatness, success, glory. These are the things they aim for. But Jesus have other things in mind. sacrifice, suffering, humility, and servanthood are part of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. And likewise, Jesus demands us to live a life of sacrifice for all the people he has given and entrusted to us. And you look at Jesus himself, you look at the cross, he has his fair share of sacrifice as well. He has his fair share of suffering and even to the point of death. And his purpose on earth is to sacrifice his life so that others may live. And in verse 45, he says that, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus understood his calling very well. And yet he was there to challenge his disciples to do likewise, living a life of sacrifice. That is the purpose and mission of Christ. And if we are called to be disciples of Christ, we too need to live the same calling as our Master. Here, the classic words of Jesus, he said that you don't need glory. Instead, you need humility to serve as a servant. If you want to be great, then you must be a servant. How many of us have actually been a servant before? When people ask you to do the smallest thing, "Hey, can you get a cup of coffee for me?" That kind of small things. "Can you do something small for me?" People treat you like a servant in that sense. Don't desire the glory that comes with the leadership. It will be gone before you know it. Seek to be a servant, a slave for the Lord and his people. Whether you receive the glory or not, or greatness or not, it doesn't matter. So it's time for us to search our hearts and examine our hearts. Look deep into it. Likewise, as I share this to you, I also ask of myself to look into my heart. And if you've been serving God so that you can get the glory and credit and greatness and success, please do repent before the Lord. In closing, I will share two stories. The first story is about a movie called The Guardian. It's 2006, so when I was very young. It talked about a swimmer. He was young. He holds many swimming records in the United States. He went to the Coast Guard Academy to be trained as a rescuer. And as a rescuer in the U.S., it's quite a crazy and dangerous job. It's when people who are trapped in troubled water or in cave in a heavy rain, you are called to go out into the sea to rescue. And of course, this young man has smashed all the records on the wall by his swimming coach. But this is what the swimming coach told him: "I don't care about the records on the wall. I care about the people I lost in the sea." Next slide, last slide, Eddie. Recently, the news has reported about a Thai movie. It's called How to Make Millions Before Grandmas Die. How many of us watched it already? Ah, so little. You sure or not? Are you Singaporean? You all should be watching more than me. I watch this on my off day, and not on my office hours, okay? Or else, wait, I need to talk to Pastor Darrell. It talked about a grandson who at first wanted to make millions of dollars. And by looking after his grandmother, who has a few more months to live, he's determined to make himself to replace the two sons and daughter as number one in the grandma's life. So he moved in with her. He woke up early in the morning to sell porridge with her. He brought his grandma to the hospital for all her medical checkups. He looked after his grandma, especially when she was ill and sick. And of course, he challenged her mindset about who is number one in her life. After all, the sacrifice he has made, he still didn't make the millions of dollars or the inheritance. it was at her burial. He recalls the many moments that his grandma had him as her favorite. Although without the inheritance, for example, a plant was planted just for him to enjoy its fruits. He fully understood the depth and the love of his grandma. Then he realized that he might not be her number one, but she is his number one. And he wept like a baby, and same as me. I also wept. Thai movies are very good. They draw your emotions out. And likewise, as disciples of Christ, we need to fully appreciate the love, the depth, the life of Christ, so that we don't chase to be number one, but Christ is our number one in our life. Let us pray. Father, Lord, we pray and ask that you continue to be with us in our hearts and in our mind, that we no longer live a life of glory and greatness without you, but live a life of sacrifice, humility, and servanthood with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.